Today's topic, my sermon topic, is sandwiches. So what's your favourite sandwich, I wonder? Someone that likes one of those kind of pret-a-manger, I shouldn't put adverts in the search, should I? One of those sandwich shop things which look absolutely delicious but actually overstuffed with too many different ingredients and runny juice that goes everywhere. Would you like something simple? A nice bit of cheddar, a lovely slice of ham. Key thing to my mind about a sandwich is to keep it simple. Simple is good for sandwiches. Simple sandwich fills and satisfies. Which brings me, by an unlikely segue, to our passage for today. It's a simple sandwich with a simple but tasty filling. So just remember where we've got to in the book of Acts. We started this little sequence of sermons on the visions experienced by Peter and Cornelius last week, and we'll finish the sequence thinking about those visions and their consequences next week. You'll remember that a centurion called Cornelius, who was a good and prayerful man, had a vision saying, essentially, send for this guy called Peter. At around the same time, Peter was up on the roof praying at the home of Simon the Tanner, and he had a vision of all sorts of creatures being lowered down from heaven on what looked like a white sheet. And the point of the vision was that all those creatures, including ones that Peter and all other Jewish people had thought of as unclean, were in fact clean, and that Peter could eat them. As Peter is struggling and coming to understand his vision, Cornelius' servants arrive and tell him about Cornelius' vision, and then they stay with Peter overnight before, as we've heard just now from Alistair, setting out the next day. Last week we focused in on Peter's vision and thought about our own situation, how important it is, particularly in a time of change, to keep praying and listening for what God is telling us, really to grapple with what we're hearing or sensing, and to be open to hearing about radical new things that God might want us to do. All of this that happens is a big deal. The food vision is really just a stepping stone, sort of warm up to the main event. Peter does not immediately go out and kill an unclean pig and put it on the barbie. This is really about people, not about birds and animals. It leads to Peter accepting an invitation to go to a Gentile house, an unclean house. And he deliberately interacts with Gentiles in that intimate setting. And as a result of what he did and said, they became followers of Christ. This was the start of something huge, a big expansion of the church across Asia Minor, into Greece, into Italy, and beyond. And it all happened because of a sandwich. Not a bread and cheese sandwich or whatever your favourite is, but the simplest of sandwiches to take out on mission into any community, anywhere, in any time, to any people. A sandwich of spirit and gospel. And the filling is the gospel. Peter's account of the gospel here is an absolute model. It's only a summary. I expect he spoke for longer and in more detail, but this is what he said. It's a few verses, but I think it's worth hearing again. It's so good. He starts by saying, I now realise how true it is that God does not show favouritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We, says Peter, are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a cross, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him. that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Just process that, the beauty and simplicity of that message. It starts by saying God does not show favouritism. We can say to people, wherever they are, whatever their background, God loves you. And we know that to be true. God does not show favouritism. Do you think that's an attractive message? Next part. God communicates with the world. He sends a message. Peter calls it good news, a message of peace. It's a message he sends through Jesus Christ. It's important that it came through him because he's no ordinary messenger, but the one who is, says Peter, Lord of all. It's like sending the head of a university, the one who is actually in charge, to one of those poor A-level students and saying, it's all right, you've got your place. The student knows it's true because it's the boss of the university. She or he has the authority that makes the message real. The good news of peace comes through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. But our hearers might say, how do we know that he's Lord of all? Peter's answer is, it was obvious. He explains it. He says, he and his companions were witnesses. Jesus went round doing good and healing, doing things that only one who commands all of creation could do. No one else could do what he did. He did it because he was anointed with the Holy Spirit and power. In other words, because God was with him. So what happened to this Jesus, people will ask? Well, says Peter, they killed him. They, his enemies, killed him. But that was not the end. God raised him from the dead. Peter and his companions were witnesses to that. It was bodily resurrection, not some apparition. They ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. Okay, says our listeners, good story, but why does it matter? To which Peter's response is, well, you know there is evil in the world, lots of it. And you desperately want it all to be put right, for there to be justice and fairness for all. Who doesn't want that? Well, the news is that Jesus, this wonderful man who did no wrong, who lived a perfect life, who only ever did good, he is the judge, the perfect, all-powerful judge, who will come again to put all things to rights, to judge all that has ever happened, everything that anyone has ever done. Hold on now, says our thoughtful hearer. How is this good news for me? It is sometimes, very often actually, me saying something wrong or doing something wrong. How is it good news that this guy whose standards I cannot possibly live up to is coming to judge? Well, says Peter, because everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Clean slate for everyone who believes in Jesus Christ. Turn back to God, start over. Receive peace, deep inner peace. Is it not a beautiful and simple message? When did you last let someone know this? The very beating heart of your faith. Now you may say, I can't do this. I cannot tell this story. If I did, it would have no effect. But you can. For if this gospel message in Peter's mouths or in our mouths is the perfect sandwich filling, then the bread, the perfect bread that makes it the perfect sandwich, is the Holy Spirit. The before and after, and because it is a sandwich, there in every delicious mouthful, the Holy Spirit. Peter, anointed by the Spirit at Pentecost, received the one Spirit that you and I both also received when we came to faith. The Spirit lives in you and me. We sing it often enough. Believe it, for it is true. That same Spirit who lives in us will direct us. Remember last week, while Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, Simon, three men are looking for you, so get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them. The Spirit directed. And when spirit-filled and spirit-directed, we do our part and tell the beautiful good news, the Spirit will bring the message home. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in other languages and praising God. The Spirit goes before, the Spirit comes after, the Spirit fills us, and the Spirit works in the hearts that hear the gospel message. Last week we focused on prayer, the vital work that must precede and support any evangelism. We thought about grappling with God, really taking trouble to understand what he wants of us in this time and this place, and being prepared to do the unexpected, the radical even. And that's true. What Peter did, going to the Gentile house, was radical. It got him into trouble, as we shall hear next week. But the message was the same in that house as it had been in Jerusalem. And the one Spirit of God was the same here as anywhere, and did the work among the Gentiles that he had done among the Jews. There was no favouritism. Today, the good news is the same as it has always been. God's Spirit is the same. The same sandwich has been served for 2,000 years, and the recipe is just as tasty now as it was then. And people's hunger, the hunger of the people, their spiritual need, the inner desire for peace that only God can give, is just the same now as it always has been. The only question really is whether we will play our part in serving this sandwich, whether we will serve this meal to the hungry or one of our own invention. The sandwich of God is not an overstuffed and runny mess, but fills and satisfies. And it's that beautiful gospel meal of him who lived and died and rose again, who will come as judge, but who brings forgiveness to all who believe in him. It's that meal that we must serve.